are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, December the 14th, and finally, Pistons basketball to talk about. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Got all sorts of new listeners out there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the network as well. There are Locked On podcasts about the Spartans and the Wolverines, as well as the three major professional sports teams here in the great city of Detroit. So check those out as well, and all sorts of network-wide podcasts that we'll talk about as time goes on too. But today, we got some hoops to talk about as brother Brian is going to give us the game details on the top. I'll talk about some of the news from after the game, breaking news, in case you weren't on Twitter to see the report from James Edwards III of The Athletic first. Also, I've got the overreactions from the weekends of the game and which ones might stick and which ones might not. Also, a little bit later on, brother Brian's got the Meet a Piston series continuing with Jeremy Grant today. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Over 4,000 Twitter followers now, barreling down on 4,100. Join the party on the Twitter.com. Give a follow to the Locked On Pistons Twitter page as well, aptly handled Locked On Pistons. Give a follow to the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Brother Brian, find him at bshook, S-C-H-O-C-H 12, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, play_Michigan. Make my day job bosses happy with upping the count there, and also follow the news and the Locked On, the online gambling launch, which is coming in mid-January. Got all sorts of information to pass along to you guys at playmichigan.com. But we got basketball to talk about. Let's get right to it. Let's hit brother Brian for the game recap.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Rodney Magruder gives it up to Saben Lee. Good penetration, finds Sekou for the corner three that's through.
The Pistons beat the New York Knicks 99-91 to go to 1-1 in this preseason. And the story of the night was Sekou Doumbouya off the bench with 23 points to lead the team and chipped in 5 rebounds. Blake Griffin and Jahlil Okafor led the team with 6 boards each, while D-Rose tossed 8 dimes to be the top Piston. The Pistons shot 34% from 3, which was a vast improvement over their abysmal shooting on Friday night. Jeremy Grant again had a tough night shooting and is still looking to get going this preseason. Number 7 pick Killian Hayes cut down his turnovers to just 1, but is still not getting some open deep looks to drop. But taking care of the ball and running the offense more effectively means that last night was a step forward for the rookie point guard. Detroit was able to cover the spread in the game in which they came in as 2-point favorites, and for the second game in a row, the under was a comfortable and successful wager for most of the night. Detroit laces them up again Thursday night at Washington to take on Russell Westbrook and the Wizards. Check that game out to see Russ and Bradley Beal play with their first-round pick, Denny Avdia. That game tips at 7 p.m. This has been your Pistons recap.
Detroit basketball!
Got a lot of thoughts on the weekend's games, but I wanted to pass along the news and notes first from late Sunday night. James Edwards of The Athletic passing along that per sources, the Pistons have waived Anthony Lamb, Lewis King, and LiAngelo Ball. So Lewis King was under a two-way deal along with Saben Lee, so sounds like he's gone. So the Pistons now have a two-way spot open. Nothing surprising about Anthony Lamb and LiAngelo Ball being gone. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are gone from the organization or the franchise. Maybe the Pistons have interest in bringing them back to the G League, and of course we know the G League is a bit of a roll of the dice at this point. Certainly with the Grand Rapids Drive pretty much already opting out of next month's bubble in Atlanta, you would think that that team would be at the very bottom of the list of teams that anyone that is a sought-after free agent would want to go to. Certainly a guy like Anthony Lamb and LiAngelo Ball would want to go play somewhere else, who's going to go play in the bubble, who's going to get that exposure and that experience. So that's going to put the Pistons a little bit behind there in terms of getting some affiliate players. Neither of those three players played on Friday night's game. On Sunday, all three of them got in towards the end of the game. I'm sorry, the two of them got in. LiAngelo Ball did not play. That didn't happen. We didn't get our taste of LiAngelo Ball in a Pistons uniform. Anthony Lamb did play 4 minutes, got a shot up, missed the three. And Lewis King, who was a two-way player last year, got 2 points in 3 minutes for his preseason action for the Pistons. So we'll see what their future looks like in the red, white, and blue or otherwise with the Grand Rapids Drive this season. Do I have thoughts on LiAngelo Ball and that whole thing? I'm not worked up about them bringing him in. I don't think it's what like serious organizations do, but it's a training camp spot. It's not that big a deal. But I am uncomfortable with like the it's the Ball family, right? So you got people that are pissed that he didn't get some run in the preseason. You have people that are pissed that he was even brought in. And now you have like a lot of the jokes coming off about him, which I'm not sanctimonious. I make bad jokes or jokes about things you shouldn't joke about all the time. I do that. But when a guy gets cut, you know, he's his first taste of being in the NBA. He was in training camp for a couple weeks, and now he's cut. Like, I don't think that, to me, that, like, that's the time to start kicking a guy while he's down. So we're not going to make LiAngelo Ball jokes. And, no, we're not going to turn this into a super serious podcast where we don't make jokes about things that we don't. But unless, I don't know, maybe if you got, like, a really funny joke about LiAngelo Ball, and certainly he's going to be fine. He's got his brothers and his fame and fortune and everything that goes along with it. And hopefully his basketball career takes off or he gets a chance. Anyway, I guess that's all we can kind of hope for. But you would have thought that being in training camp was enough of a chance to prove that you should get some minutes in the preseason. That didn't work out. That didn't happen. So rest in peace to the LiAngelo Ball experience with the Detroit Pistons. And we'll see if he resurfaces with the Grand Rapids Drive or otherwise going forward. But I got some thoughts on these guys that are still with the Pistons, and we'll get into that overreaction season from two training camp preseason games. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, we're still looking for your charities that you think might be worthy ones for people who are listeners of the Locked On Pistons podcast and presumably have some kind of ties to Michigan, Southeast Michigan, maybe even the city of Detroit, that might be interested in helping out those folks. So if you have any charity ideas that you want us to pass along here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, reach out to me and let me know. Also looking for gift ideas for your Pistons fan. Looking at probably Wednesday's show for gift ideas. So if you found something fun on the internet or you know some local business that has something out there that Pistons fans might enjoy, whether you're that Pistons fan who can pass along the link to someone in your life who can buy it for you, or you can buy it for your fellow family, friend, wife, husband who happens to be a big fan as well. I got a couple of gift ideas for you, but I'm looking for some more as well. Doc Joe Brown came through with one of them. And if you're a listener of the show, you know that tomorrow, Tuesday, is the Almost Legends series with Brian, as we do every week. That's a fun one to check out tomorrow's show. And, of course, Fridays with Brian, as the listeners know about as well. Excited to get basketball going and things to talk about. And just wanted to welcome the new listeners, give them a little rundown of what our weeks look like here in the preseason. Of course, the schedule of games. We'll kind of adjust things as we go. We'll talk about this team in depth, backwards and forwards, but keeping it a little bit off the court as well, build the community, get some fellowship there with the podcast. We know that we'd love to be meeting in person with people a little bit more, but now we're leaning on podcasts and maybe some of these virtual families a little bit more than we do in the past. But after two preseason games with the Pistons, I'm fired up to be watching basketball. I hope you guys are too. Had a lot of fun. Although that Sunday night game, and I tweeted about this, dragged a little bit to me in that second half. I think it was just some fouls and guys that were about to get cut a few minutes after the game probably didn't help matters as well. But a lot of overreactions flying around out there. I wanted to parse through some of them that I've seen or some of them that you might be able to have from the weekend and whether you should trash it and that it's a bad take and it's going to be proven to be wrong, whether you should smash it, it's a good one, maybe hit that fave, maybe smash it in another way if you really, really love it, or if it's TBD, right? If it's to be determined. So here's some of the takes that we have out there that could be out there, whether it's a trash one to get rid of, a smash one to really love, or the TBD one as well. It would be crazy to overreact to just one preseason game, which is why I'm kind of glad that it was a Friday night game to start, so we didn't have a show up until Monday. But two of them, I think we can go nuts and just overreact big time. No problem here. So let's start with the first one. We'll be super positive about the Pistons, as we should be. I mean, it's a new season. It's a new beginning. We're going to stick with this team and this franchise through, not through thick and thin, but maybe through at least thick and maybe partially thin as well. But an overreaction that you might have from the weekend's games is Troy Weaver is a culture warrior and has figured this thing out, has unlocked the Detroit Pistons formula. And I like this take. I think this is a smash it take, and that is a good one. The guys are playing hard. It's fun to watch. There's some real Detroit Pistons out there. It's just good to see. Of course, the ball movement on Sunday kind of helped the offense a little bit. You're a little bit concerned about the shooting throughout the course of a 72-game season. But these guys are the right type of players. And the length, oh, my God, the length is ridiculous. Jeremy Grant's arms are so long. Isaiah Stewart's arms are ridiculously long. This is a team that's going to be a tough to try to score baskets and pass the ball around against. Killian Hayes, big guard, obviously made a lot of deflections, especially on Sunday night. You just love that. It doesn't change necessarily how I feel about the offseason as a whole. I don't know why the culture needed to be changed right away at the expense of some of the patience and asset management that could have happened. But it's different, and it's great to see, and I think Troy Weaver has addressed the culture and took it on head on, and it did a lot of great things for the culture. So smash that take right there. What about this take? Blake and Rose look pretty good. These guys are healthy. And then you throw in, you know, they're two number one picks from the past. You throw in Josh Jackson. You throw in Jahlil Okafor. These are former top five picks as well. Blue chip type of talent coming into the draft. The Pistons have a good high level amount of talent. You can trash that take. I'm going to screenshot that one and throw that one in your face later on. The talent level on this team is very low. It's very low. And that's a good thing. By the way, it's a rebuild. This isn't a tank, but it's a rebuild. They're angling for a top pick next year, and they will certainly be able to do that. I don't, you know, Brian and I got a little optimistic and said, hey, if Blake's healthy, maybe you can get into that 10th seed in the East. And I'm not saying it's completely out of the question, but just from thinking more about this roster and looking at it, they are far away from being even an Eastern Conference playoff contender. I believe that. We'll see how things go on. I believe that it is like almost certain that this is going to be a bottom five team in the NBA. Again, a good thing. That's a good thing. That's how rebuilds work. But I'm looking just at the starting lineup from Friday and Sunday. There are three non-NBA starters starting in Mason Plumlee, in Killian Hayes, and DeLon Wright. And I think that they all should be starting for this roster. I'm not disagreeing with that part of it. And I know that we could get into the Svi versus DeLon Wright, starting games, finishing games, what the role with those guys are. I'm not super into caring about the shooting guard competition and who starts the games yet. I'm sure we'll get into that at some point. And I'm also not opposed to rolling out the ball and having Killian Hayes start. I think there's some validity to it. And in fact, I think I kind of agree with it, basically. But I wonder, with those three guys, Plumlee, Hayes, and Wright, think about the NBA. Think about the 30 teams in this league and the five starters on each of the teams in the league. Those three guys, of the 150 starters in the NBA that are not starting because someone's hurt but are like the preseason, you know, game one starters if everyone's healthy on the team, are those five three guys that I talked about, are they in the bottom 15 of the 150 starters in the NBA? Are they in the bottom 10? All three of them, maybe DeLon Wright, maybe you want to be optimistic about him and make a case. Maybe you're a Mason Plumlee guy. Maybe you think Killian Hayes is going to come in gangbusters right away and play really well, contend for Rookie of the Year. I don't think I'm quite there with him. But, man, you might be pessimistic and say, and maybe pessimistic and optimistic, or it's hard to say which is which because maybe it's optimistic to say that these guys are bad and that helps the tank, et cetera, et cetera. We could go in circles all day. But there's like a case to be made. The Killian Hayes, Mason Plumlee, and DeLon Wright, again, all fine players, guys that I have certainly no personal issue with, and guys that I don't disagree with them being the starters for the Pistons. Are they three of the five worst starters in the entire NBA? That might be stretching it a little bit, but I mean, probably bottom 15. I'd be interested to see if any listener wants to kind of map that out, or if someone wants to say, I don't know, you know, maybe this guy is not in the bottom 15. Maybe he's more of a bottom 30 type of guy. Anyway, that my point being, this is a bad team that's largely by design. It's good, and that's right. But don't look at some of the pedigree of these guys coming in, or that Blake and Rose are there. And Rose, by the way, maybe one of the more talented bench players in the entire NBA. So that kind of maybe mitigates a little bit of the lack of talent on the starting five. But still, there is not a lot of talent on this team, and I want to be clear about that. Not a bad thing. Certainly not a bad thing for the tank, but don't have that overreaction. Another overreaction, so I would say trash that overreaction if you think that this team has a large area of overall talent. Another overreaction that you might have is that the rookies are just amazing, right? You might be really excited about Sadiq Bey on Friday night. You see Stewart got tossed on Sunday. You love that. It was a BS tossing, by the way. But you're digging the attitude, the bad boys stuff. And then, of course, Killian, some bright spots, some rough spots as well. I think that this take, this overreaction, is to be determined. Killian, 4-for-18 from the field, 1-for-9 from three. The shooting is a concern, and not just because of the numbers. It basically has nothing to do with the numbers. And I'm not – and talking about the shooting, and also with Sadiq Bey, you know, we've seen the film. We talked about the unorthodox shot. But when you see it on an NBA court, and I'll throw Killian Hayes' kind of low release from his chest into this as well, the step-back threes, man, does he hit those ever? You know, like, I mean, it's preseason. At some point, you got to stop taking the step backs because you need a lot of space because he's shooting from the chest. I don't know. It's something that they're going to have to figure out in the long term. So many good things about Killian so far. Loving it. But Bey and Stewart, I'm not huge on those guys. Not from what I've seen, but just kind of in general. You like what you see mostly from this weekend. They're kind of hopefully role guys, which seems like it's good for the culture. These are culture fits, and I get it. I still don't love the trades. You'll notice I'm still kind of transitioning from off-season mode, and I'm sorry if that rubs some of you the wrong way. But again, the shot from Bey is so strange. 3-for-11 from three in two games so far. Killian, too, work in progress on the shot. You don't usually see unorthodox shooters turn into elite shooters. Sometimes they're passable. And I'm not one. I didn't buy completely the one college season of great shooting from Sadiq Bey. I don't think that's a great sample to go by, especially when the form is so strange. I don't like some of the misses from those guys as well over the weekend. Usually, good shooters or very good shooters don't have horrible misses. I think that with Bey, you might have to either change it up in terms of the shot and what it looks like. And I think that that's possible. If you demonstrate that you have the touch, then you can change the form a little bit, work on things. Or if that doesn't happen, he's just kind of an average or maybe a slightly above average shooter. You got to do other stuff at a really good level to be an effective role player in the NBA. And I don't know. I mean, I thought the feet were kind of slow at times against Obi Toppin. He had him on skates a little bit on Friday night. With Isaiah Stewart, you love the energy. You love it so much, but you got to see more of him, right? And have him kind of do some stuff instead of just being out there. I know he had the block shot, the ejection, but hopefully we see some more productivity and getting some baskets and filling up the stat sheet a little bit this weekend against Washington. It's a preseason. It's a good time to see a lot of those guys, and hopefully that's what happens from Dwayne Casey. Another overreaction that you might have is that Sekou is amazing. I'm going to throw ice on this one too and say it's a TBD. I love to see it. I am a cheerleader, big Sekou guy. I wanted him in the draft last year. So no one has more vested interest than me, and I was so happy to see him playing well on Sunday night. The cuts, the conditioning, he looks so much better. He looks so much quicker, just moving so much better than he did as a rookie. Got the message there, was serious about his long, long offseason when you never know on some of these guys that are coming into the league, especially a guy that we don't know much about, really, right? You grew up in Europe and not a guy we have seen in the college program, seen under systems that are more translatable in our minds. But again, not going to get too super excited about Sekou, but good to see Dumbuya have a great start to the preseason, especially on Sunday night. I was a proud papa watching him play. But we're going to call that one a TBD too. And the other one, kind of the elephant in the room, I would say, over the weekend. And again, stats don't matter over the preseason. But Jeremy Grant, We're not going to get into this today. We're going to talk about more of this later, and Brian's going to have the Meet a Piston profile on him, and we're going to let this kind of develop over time. But 3-for-19 over the weekend, and it wasn't just missing. It's just the how he was kind of billed, right, as a complimentary player that's now going to be asked to take more of a creator role. And it just doesn't look like, again, two preseason games. You get the conditioning. You love the defense from him. There's so much to love about the culture fit. But, we're going to leave this one alone for now and call this one a TBD as well. I have a feeling we're going to be talking plenty about Jeremy Grant over these next 3 years. And hopefully it's good. And hopefully it's all positive and he lives up to the $60 million contract or something close to it and ends up rubbing off on a lot of these guys in positive ways. And that's certainly an outcome that is certainly possible, maybe even very possible, maybe even likely in some of your minds. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm excited to talk Pistons with you guys and see how this all goes with the Troy Weaver era with the Pistons going forward. So, Meet a Piston, Jeremy Grant. Brother Brian's going to tell us all about him. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team, every day. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar ever, and it's more delicious now than it even was before. You got the 18 amazing flavors from before, or the 12 from before, and the 6 new ones as well. The caramel brownies new, the cookies and creams new, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Great to start your day, maybe hold you over for an indulgent tasting, but not indulgent midnight snack. This is perfect to kind of hold you over at night so you don't get into the cookies or the bad stuff for you, or that the salty treats that you might like. The 12 OGs are out there as well in the mixed backs. Mint brownie, orange, they're all great. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. And in addition to the taste, what's great about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. The flavor profile, the peanut butter, just to give you some macros on that, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. This is great. This is what you want. Those are numbers that are going to satiate your appetite but not have you pay for it in the terms of getting fat. You don't want to do that. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We are just days away from the start of the NBA regular season, and this week the Locked On NBA podcast is previewing every team division by division. Get intel on each team, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. Here's Brother Brian with the Meet a Pistons series.
With the whirling dervish that is Troy Weaver and his almost totally remade Detroit Pistons roster, we have decided to take a look at the players old and new that are on it and give a brief synopsis on who they are and where they came from. So today, let's look at Jeremy Grant, a 26-year-old, 6'8", 210-pound forward. Grant was born in Portland, Oregon, to former NBA veteran Harvey Grant, whose twin brother Horace was a menace for years for the Pistons. Jeremy ended up at high school basketball powerhouse Matha in Hyattsville, Maryland. Jeremy decided to play for Coach Jim Boeheim at Syracuse University. He spent 2 years there for the Orange before leaving early and becoming the 39th overall pick in the second round of the 2014 NBA draft to the Philadelphia 76ers. Grant worked his way into the starting lineup for 52 games for the Sixers in his second year, but was traded to Oklahoma City just 2 games into his third season in 2016-2017. His first 2 years in OKC, he came off of the bench and showed steady improvement shooting from the floor and earned a starting spot in 2018-19 for the Thunder. After that season, he was traded to the Denver Nuggets, where he mainly came off of the bench for the Western Conference finalists. He had a very good performance in the NBA's bubble in Orlando and turned some heads with some very good games against eventual NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers in the conference finals, causing trouble for LeBron James and Anthony Davis, mainly on the defensive end. Grant was the biggest offseason acquisition that Troy Weaver and the Pistons added in a busy offseason. He is expected to be a bigger contributor here than he has ever been asked to be anywhere else in his career. He should be an immediate starter, and behind Blake Griffin, probably get the second most touches and scoring opportunities most nights. A bballindex.com deep dive shows that while Jeremy Grant is ranked near the bottom of the league in creating his own three-point shot, he is in the top 40 in three-point shot quality, which means he should be able to find open spots on the floor when Killian Hayes or Derrick Rose penetrates and kicks it back out. Grant, in a sign-and-trade deal with Denver, signed a three-year fully guaranteed $60 million and change contract as the biggest offseason acquisition for the Pistons. Thanks for listening, and look for our next Meet a Piston when we will look at center Jahlil Okafor.
Thanks to Brother Brian for the Meet a Piston series. A couple things that stand out there about Jeremy Grant, and that is, first of all, second-round pick, 39th overall. So before we start poo-pooing those second-round picks, keep in mind the second-highest-paid Piston is a second-round pick himself. Also, as Brother Brian mentioned, very effective in the bubble, did a lot of nice things in the playoffs, but he was a backup for most of last year for Denver until Will Barton got hurt, started 24 of the 71 regular season games that he played in, and only played 26.6 minutes for the Denver Nuggets. So a huge role increase, a huge stature increase, and a huge payment increase for Jeremy Grant. Good trend center, good culture center. We know that. We've seen that. And we're going to continue to see that, hopefully. But, yeah, we'll see how the offense comes along as well in time. Thanks to Brother Brian for meeting a Piston, Jeremy Grant. We'll see how that experiment goes. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.